In your Bible, there's a book called Hosea. In Hosea, he married a harlot named Gomer. Married a harlot, knew what she was, and he married her. And not long after they got married, she went back out, what she always did. And Gomer would do what she normally did, but Hosea would go back out looking for her. Even though she committed adultery on him, he would go out and find her and bring her back home. Then again she would go out later on. And Hosea would go back out looking for her. And bring her home. Then again she would go back out again. Again and again. He would go and bring her back home again. As time went on, Gomer was would want her. Wore out, been around, abused and used by so many people. We would find her being sold. Nobody wanted her anymore. I get mad. I get mad at her being on an auction block. She had nothing to give anymore. Her beauty gone. Her self-worth is gone. I can see her standing there. And then all of a sudden, there's a bid goes up. And someone purchased her. And she looks up, and there's Hosea. He bought her back. Of all the stuff that she put him through, his love for her was greater than anything she could have done. When she was done, and nobody wanted her, Hosea still did. He paid the price and brought her home. But folks, that's us. May you walk with the Lord. Yes, I'm on fire for him. Then you go back out into the world. Then you come back to him. Then you fall back to the world. I would imagine Gomer, when she fell back out in the world, she probably started hating herself. Oh, why do I do this? There's something that just draws me to this. Hosea left her. He go find her and bring her home. How guilty she must have felt at times, going back home. How can you love me? How can you care for me? Something kept pulling her back out. But I believe on that auction block, I believe that day come. She realized all that she put herself through. Recognize all the enticements of the world, I believe. How stupid can I be? But Hosea wasn't done. And folks, the same way God isn't done with you. Montgomery to the home of Hosea. He purchased her at a great price of silver. God has done the same thing for us. How many times have we went out on Him? But Jesus Christ, He paid the ultimate price for us. Bought us back from all the lies of the devil and all the stuff that we allow ourselves to be deceived with. Well, I imagine when Gomer was going out, she realized, I shouldn't be doing this. But I just got to do it. And some of us might be the same. Oh man, it's Friday night, I shouldn't be going out, but what's Friday night? Part of you don't want to. But there's something keeps drawing you to go out. Or whatever that thing is that Christ came to rescue you from. Oh, we've all had friends in our lives that were at least acquaintances that walked with you. Hey, we're in this thing together, man. Then all of a sudden, poof, left you stranded. Anybody been there before? Amen. Oh man, here I am. But then here comes somebody else along. Maybe for a lady, it might be a sweet talking guy. For a guy, it might be a sweet talking lady. For some reason, Bonnie and Ned's looking at each other. I'm not sure. But you start listening. You think, this time it'll be different. It'll be different this time. And it's not. And here's God. Loving you. Caring for you. Ain't giving up on you. Just waiting. Just waiting for us to recognize truly the ultimate price that He paid for you and me. That song we sing, wrap me in your arms, Lord. Wrap me in your arms, Lord. If you wrap me in your arms, I can't get away from you. I don't want to be enticed anymore of the world. I don't want anything to do with this stinking world the way it is. I want you, Lord. And He wraps you and strengthens you in His arms. The worst thing that ever happened to Gomer was her to refuse to get back with Hosea. All that guilt and all that shame that she was carrying. To say, no, I'm not going back no more. But Hosea, he paid the price. No, I bought you. You're mine. Come on home. But I'm not worthy. Come on home. That's what Christ is saying to you today. Come on home. Sell out to me. I paid the price. Let your sins be in the past. Let your thought process be in the past. Come. Come to me. Let me wrap you in my arms. Let me hold you. Let me guide you. And that's a love that's hard to comprehend, but we have to comprehend it. You got to know how much He cares for you. The price He paid for us to understand that true love. Because if you don't, you're going to walk away again and again. We got to look in the mirror ourselves and see who we truly are. That we truly need a Savior. We need Jesus. So I got a deal for you. Invite me in your life. Let me come in. Consume me. Yield yourself to me and I will take over your life. I'll strengthen you. We're going to fight this thing together. I'll give you my spirit and then we're going to fight that old flesh of you that keeps taking you down all the time. I'll give you strength to overcome that. It's our commitment. And that one thing Carol was sharing earlier, trust and obey. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with everything you do. Trust and obey Him. What He says. Yeah, the presence of the Lord is so thick this morning, ministering to each and every one of us. You say, I'm not done with you yet. He says, I see the pain, I see what you're going through. His heart breaks also. We look at this world today, we see how this world is today, His heart breaks. But He wants to remind us, as His followers, who we are in Christ Jesus. Again, that one of the songs we sang today, in the name of the Lord. Wow, how powerful that is. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us up front, He said, listen, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So, I mean, anything that we get involved with that isn't of God, that isn't like His Word, it only has a purpose to destroy us. But Jesus says, I'll come give you life. I give it more abundantly to you. His ways, as He states, isn't our ways. His ways are contrary to our flesh. You know? Because our flesh was raised in sin. He was born in sin. He has all these sin. Even before you took your first step, man, you were in sin. And later on, you're held accountable for that sin. But God said, man, just follow me. Deuteronomy. I'm going to share there for a second. Deuteronomy 28. Now, God's saying, okay, now if you obey me, if you follow me, wow. This was going to take place. Think of this. All the things in the past, when we rescue Jesus, rescue us, become our Lord and our Savior. Now, this is a good deal that God has for us. He said in Deuteronomy 28:1, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now what I love about this part here is now, He said, be careful to do His command. Otherwise, to me, when you're careful, if I'm walking, as long as Debbie's not trying to trip me again, but if I'm walking, I was bringing back some, I cooked today, green beans and potatoes, and she bent over and the light came out and I tripped, but we never fell down, did we? And now if I walk past, I'm going to be very careful, okay? Not to be tripped up again, okay? And what He's saying here, hey, be careful. That's what God is saying. Being careful to do the commandment. Oh, man. Otherwise, I'm thinking, man, is this of God? Should I do this? Did God speak against it? That's where we should. If we don't know, we should want to search His Word out and learn. That I don't want to do nothing to offend this God. But He said, now if you do this, He says, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. If you obey, God said, you obey me. The creator of the universe. If you follow me, He goes on all these blessings. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, and the increase of your herds, and the the young and your flock. I mean, you talk about building more barns back here for the farmers that we got in here, you know what I'm saying? But also for your kids, it just being obedient to Him, to obey His commands. Think of that. That's why the challenge, or if you say the temptation, comes against you so much. Because Satan's whole course is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why sometimes people show up in your life you ain't seen in years. Wow. And they won't take you back where you used to be at in years. And man, we have to recognize that. Because Satan will use anything in order to drag you away from the blessings of God. What he wants you to do is curse God and turn away. A lot of things about God you might not understand. But He's God. And this word here, we'll explain them to Him. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. Verse 6. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, and will flee before you seven other ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon you and your barns and all that you put your hands to. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. Wow. You'd be blessed so much that people are going to know that God is your God. And they're going, oh, back off. I don't mess with them. Man, God protects His children. Then we go down to verse 15. It says, but it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now I'm not going to read all this. You read these all later on when you get home, you want to. But he doesn't hide anything from us. He ties you right up front. Isn't that awesome? So you make a fantastic choice of how you want to live your life. You know, God doesn't try to fool anybody. He doesn't at all. But we're either walking with Him. You know, he in the statute there, He didn't say, if you choose, back in the beginning of 28, if you choose to obey some of my commandments, I'm going to bless you. He said, now be careful to obey what I tell you to do. Not pick and choose. And folks, we are in a world today that's pick and choose. Amen? And people are picking and choosing, but we need to pick and choose the things of God. That has to be the first priority in our life. That's where your commitment comes from. But then your desire. That you don't have to do, that you want to do that. And He has the best for you. Now, we want to take a couple minutes and jump back into the garden for a minute again, okay? Genesis 3. I want to jump in there a second. A couple more things I want to... I'm going to start up with verse 6 again. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, Genesis 3, 6, and that it was a delight in the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And he already told him up front, told Adam, hey, listen, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because the minute you do, you shall what? You shall die. Then the eyes of both of them were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Now God already knew where they was at, but He made them own up to it. And Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to me, to be with me. She gave me from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, was a serpent deceived me, and I ate. Now, right there, we have to catch up on this part right here. Because right away, when God went to Adam, said, well, who told you he's naked? Right away, instead of saying, hey, listen, I blew it. You said, do not eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I ate from it. But right away, he blames who? He blames his wife. He blames Eve. That woman that you gave me, that woman you made for me, it's her fault. Wow. Who did God put in charge of the garden? Adam. What did he tell Adam? Any tree in the garden you may eat from it. And the center of that was the tree of life. But he said, now listen, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat from it. Do not eat from it. Because the minute you do, you shall surely die. Wow. Adam was in charge of it. Trying to blame his wife. Now, we spoke about last week that we are in the garden of earth, not Eden. But we have the same commission that God from the very beginning did. Hey, have dominion over this place. Amen? And share the gospel. And we're also supposed to do. But how often in our own lives that we want to blame somebody else? How many times have you ever sinned and said, well, it was my fault. I was with these guys. Or I was on the wrong people. They made me do it. Who did God put in charge of your life? Yourself? You can't blame anybody else. You might have a lot of reasons. You might be mixed with the wrong crowd. You might hang around with people that like to do all kind of weird stuff. But it's your life. But we want to blame other people. If we just get to the point to take responsibility for our own life. If we can take responsibility for our own mistakes and not blame everybody else. Say, God, yes, I was influenced by a lot of people. I might have been deceived, but I know, God, I shouldn't have done what I did. Forgive me. God, I can work with somebody like that. Amen? He can. If we acknowledge our fall, our pitfalls, if we acknowledge our sins, repent from them sins, yourself, you realize yourself, man, I got deceived, I didn't want to do this. Maybe you'd be like Gomer, oh, I'm tired of it. You say, God, help me. He's there to help you. But we live in a society today that we blame everything. I mean, some of our great-great-grandparents get blamed for how we do things today. Nobody might have some type of influence on it. But see, we don't blame everybody else. And we just take and look in the mirror and say, yeah. Yep. I knew better. I should have done it. Yes, they influenced. They talked me into it. You ever have anybody talk you into doing something you shouldn't have done? I have. Many times. Did you regret it later on? Yeah. Amen. But right away, Adam talks to God and he starts blaming the woman he gave to him. He forgot his responsibility. And folks, today, may we not do the same thing. The responsibility each one of us has as a follower of Jesus. We're not here to compromise. We're not here to work out a deal with the devil. And we're not here to say, well, listen, you take this side of Main Street, I'll take this side of Main Street. No. We are here to stand on His Word. Stand on the truth and to live it and to share it with no compromise. And it's so easy anymore to want to throw the towel in. Because you're wore out, don't you? Oh my. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to throw the towel in. I don't know. Anybody got a flashlight on them? No? Okay. Oh, on our phone. Okay. Kill the light a second. Where are you at? Just show me. Here we go. I want to show you something here. Now, you see that light? You may see that light on the wall there. It's on my phone a little bit. Do you notice every time that light goes forward, darkness leaves? Look at that. Yeah, watch this there. Now, watch this for a second, okay? Look how quick darkness overtook the light. But you notice the light shines, darkness cannot overtake it. That light represents Christ living in us. Now, at times you might think you're not making a difference in your life. You might think that Christ hasn't made a difference in your life. But you're following Him, that light is making a difference. Whether you're that small of a beam or this big of a beam. Wherever you go, it makes a difference in this world. Now, I don't have another flashlight here, but can you imagine if someone else came alongside of me? Boom, how big that light would be? And another one, and another one of us. How much light would we be shoving out the darkness? And what Satan wants to get you to point to think about, that, hey, you can't do nothing. That could represent your prayer lives right now. You're praying for people. The light of Christ is living in you. But if you shut it off, how quickly will you be overcome by darkness again? And to me, that represents our walk with Jesus. If somehow you get separated from your walk with Him, you can get to the point that, well, I'm not going to read my scripture, I'm not going to pray no more, I just give up. That quick, and be overshadowed. God still loves us. But He's like this. What did His Word say? His blessings. His love never stops. But there was Adam. He was complaining about the woman who made him, or who God made for him. And the Lord says to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate." She got deceived. How deceived would she been if she was getting up in the morning, her and Adam, around the coffee table, or wherever it is, having breakfast, and they read God's commandment? Oh, so off the day of God's word. Oh, hey, eat anything we want here, wherever we want to go. But we cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because, man, we'll surely die. Nah, we don't do that. And the amazing thing here, oh, let me read a little bit more here. I'm just about done. And the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life." Now you see how God handles those who deceive other people. Amen? So we need to think about ourselves too. Someone's trying to deceive us, or are we trying to deceive others? Do we take and kind of twist the gospels for our own benefit? I'm telling you, I won't go out the road today, but I'm telling you, there's so much deception anymore taking place in these pulpits. There are so many wolves in sheep clothing climbing in here. I'm telling you what, not in here, I'm saying in the church itself, that I'm woe to those who are going to practice those things. If I can tell you, Johnny Cash song, no more Haggard. They're walking on the fighting side of God. And they go out and deceive His people. But if you stay in the Word, you will not be deceived. Understand that. If this is, the Word of God is your life. If it's your bookmark, if it's your roadmap, whatever you want to say, you won't be deceived. But if it's not, you can find yourself being deceived. Letting the Word of God be watered down. And folks, Word of God works when it's 100% pure. Watered down Christianity doesn't work. On your belly you will go, and the dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. What jumps out at us, looking at last night, both thorns and thistles it will grow for you. He is putting Adam and Eve out of the garden into this fallen world where Satan was cast down from. Instead of living in the Garden of Eden and multiplying and allowing it to beautifully take over the earth, which I believe took place, he's placing them right out there in the middle of it. But he says here, both thorns and thistles. When I hear the word thorn, we're thinking 4,000 years later, who took those thorns and wore them as a crown for you and I? Wow. I mean, knowing he's going to use this, knowing that the tree is going to use it to hang his son on. Now a man called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, a man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed a cherub and the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Out of God's love and mercy, he knew that if Adam and Eve would have ate from the tree of life which was planted in the garden, they'd never die, they'd always live in their sinful state. And from the foundation of the world, we see in scriptures that God already had a plan to rescue man when he fell. See, that tree of life, whatever that tree was in the garden, but there was never anything ever said that they ate from the tree of life. Did you notice that? They could have. Because you think, well, they had to eat that tree of life every day, otherwise they die. You think, well, that makes sense. But death had not come in the world yet. Death came because of sin. So chances are they could have ate from the tree, or maybe not ate from the tree. It made no difference in their unfallen state. But now there's a tree there that they ate from it, it would give them everlasting life. And God said, man, we can't redeem them if they don't die. And so that's why he put them out of the garden, protecting us. And folks, the same thing today. Sometimes God will take things out of your life. And you're, why, God? I wanted this here, I wanted this job here, or this or that. But again, if you're following God, you got to realize he's doing it for your own protection. You got to trust in him. Now, it could be sometimes we make bad decisions and God has to remove things in order to get you back on the track again. Amen? That's why when something happens, you say, okay, God, what's going on here? Are you correcting me or protecting me? Either way, he's watching out for you. But to learn from that. But folks, we leave here today, remember, we have the same charge of Adam. And that is to dominate the world. I don't mean grab your tanks and machetes and take off. But your section of the world. Now, I used these ladies up front here earlier. I don't know where you guys live at down there. I don't want to know. Okay? Well, I'm saying, I wouldn't want your address to everybody. But if one's on the first floor, one's on the second, one's on the third, one on the fourth, you got the light of Christ here and here and here and here. Now, Charlie, you're living around the corner here somewhere. See the difference that you can make in that place there? You know, wherever you go, that man... Maybe somebody's gloomy and somebody don't know the Lord or maybe having a tough day, but where you go, you're bringing the love of Christ with you, making a difference. You know? If Chuck and Ned's out there on their tractors and they're driving around their cows, you can talk to your cows. Thank you, God. Bless my cows, God. Thank you so much for what you've allowed me to do to help me feed people in this country. You know, it's just wherever you're at, just living for the Lord. But not being afraid to tell God, hey, yeah, I blew it. Forgive me. Now, I don't know what difference it would have made. Probably none difference at all because they disobeyed God. God has to keep his word. They were removed from the garden. But where was Adam saying, hey, listen. Don't blame her. My wife was deceived, okay? She was deceived, God, okay? I knew better. I saw her holding that fruit. I saw her there. And I should have stopped it. But I didn't. Hey, me. Blame me, God, but not her. I don't know what he would have done, but can you imagine? I mean, at least it'd be a different read in the Bible, maybe. But owning up, hey, it's my fault. If God said, yeah, I got deceived, God, but I knew better. I learned later on. Forgive me. And remember, he offered forgiveness. And just like Gomer, now how many times when you come to realize how much he paid the price for you? It's a commitment to the Lord, like, man, nothing's going to break it. As you stay in his word and stay in fellowship. And wherever you're at, let that little light of yours shine. It's making a difference in the world. And today our world needs God like never before. They need Jesus. This generation that's coming up. Now they need us to be true followers of Jesus. And take a stand. I don't know where you're all coming from, but May 2nd's coming up, election day. I know what's on your ballot. I know what's on ours out in Plainfield. But take time to research it and say, God, what would you have me to do here? And God will give you wisdom to do that. If you're voting for school boards, you're voting for candidates, always research. So God, who you want. And maybe God's calling somebody in here to run for public office. We need godly men and women to make decisions for this country. Maybe, I don't know. But when you hang out with God and talk to him, he'll give you directions. But just don't be afraid to engage. Engage that enemy in prayer. Pray against this evil thing that's coming against our nation, these lies. The greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. And if tonight you're having a tough night, oh, here we go again. That one song, I need two or three verses of it, is, or two or three words. Wrap me in my arms, Lord, wrap me in your arms. And let's feel his presence in your life. Amen? Amen. Anybody got questions or comments? Okay. Father, we thank you for your word today, God. We thank you for the guidance you give us. We thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for people of the Bible, Hosea and Gomer. God, how it speaks to us, how it refreshes us, how it encourages us, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much that you never turn your back on us. And God, we recognize the price that you paid for us. Father, when no one else wanted us, when the whole world was making fun of us, you stood beside us. And in return, you were there, God. So we just continue to surrender our life to you. Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior. As we follow you, as we worship Yahweh, the true God, Jehovah. God, this world, you're not done with this world yet. And you're not done with us. So God, we just call upon your name to strengthen us, your word to guide us. And the Holy Spirit, Father God, to give us that wisdom in places where we need to be. Not just to share the gospel with people, but to love people. Show them a living, walking gospel of the love of Jesus. Lord, we pray today for our children. We pray for our schools. We bind and cast down that evil spirit that's trying to take over the schools, this influence of children. And our children's children, Lord. God, we pray for a revival in this land. Revival of those that's in the church, in the pews. A revival of the heart revival of the Spirit. Lord, that we would catch on fire as we did in the book of Acts. Lord, that the church will be birthed again with power. That we yield ourselves to your word. That your signs and wonders and miracles will follow your word, Father. That may shine the true light upon the darkness of this world. And help those in darkness to come into the true life. To know Jesus Christ. We just place that precious blood of Jesus today over our children and our children's children. We take the authority that we have over our inheritance. So Lord, dispatch your angels around to watch over, defend, protect. And may your mercy and your love, your comfort, and your strength take care of them, Lord Jesus. We pray for elected officials today. We pray for those in authority over us. We pray that they would come out of darkness into the light for those not walking with you. We pray for our nation today, God. We pray for those who are coming against this nation, against the principle that we built this nation upon your word, God. That those who do harm be removed from power. The men and women we place in power who love you, Lord, who love this country based upon your word, God. Let justice be served upon those, but even during the justice, Father God, that mercy also be applied, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. And may your hand be upon Israel today, God. We pray for their strength, their peace, and their wisdom, and there be a united nation, God, coming together, standing up. And no weapon formed against them, God, would prosper either. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. May we continue to walk in the victory that Jesus won for us at the cross. And may the blessings of Abraham rest upon you, your household, and all the generations that follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.